But as you heard in the news, some significant developments on this question of Three Waters, as they are called. The government will force local councils to be part of its Three Waters reform as it pushes ahead with the major changes. The reforms will remove responsibility for the provision of drinking, waste and stormwater services from local authorities and will create four entities to deliver them across New Zealand. Of course, that means that those assets are going to have to be moved from the councils to these new entities, and it is a very complicated process. I'm not sure how many details have been pinned down as yet, but political editor Jane Patterson has just been at the briefing with the local government minister, Nanaia Mahuta. Kia ora, Jane.
Kia ora, Catherine.
So it was always there as a backstop if needed. And given the amount of opposition that's come from councils, the government has triggered it. They are making this compulsory.
They have. They've pulled the trigger on the mandate. And look, this was really, I think, becoming probably inevitable given the opposition from councils that we've seen really across the Motu for the last, you know, month or so during that consultation period in particular. And the really key concerns are about the ownership of the assets. So what happens when these four entities are created and the transfer of ownership into those from the individual councils, but also governance and influence on those assets, which of course are so important to any local community, not just the provision of water, but the cost of water. So a lot of councils are really feeling that through the process that will be laid out, and basically there will be four regional representative groups that will contain council representatives, they'll appoint an independent panel, and the panel will appoint the people to run the entities. So they just feel there's far too much distance between them as the locally elected and accountable representatives and those entities. That has not changed. What has changed is that the minister has agreed to set up some working groups basically to deal with governance and accountability issues. However, the main form of the reforms is as was proposed, and they will head towards that with legislation expected to be introduced by the end of the year.
Okay, so December, so not far away. Look, let's just look at a couple of matters piece by piece. Did we get any more clarity on this complex transfer mechanism? Because of course, some councils have invested quite a lot in their infrastructure and others very little, and they are worried that when, you know, they're grouped into these regions, most of the South Island is one region, right? They're concerned that when they're grouped into these regions, it will be unfair, that assets that ratepayers have built up, they will not get a fair value return for. Now, the minister has told us there will be a mechanism by which no one misses out. Mm-hmm. They've put up quite a lot of money to try and do that as well. But does anyone have confidence in that?
Well, look, this, as I said, the model is the same as what was put to the councils ahead of the consultation, you know, for the consultation period that's just recently ended. So, as I alluded to, it is a complex transition. So, and there are several steps between the actual councils as they are of the ownership of the assets and the creation of these entities. Now, part of it, what you're referring to, the incentive package, $2.5 billion, and that really goes to councils across the country to smooth the transition, but also to make no council worse off in terms of the assets that they're losing. But for example, Whangarei says there's no way that money is going to make up for the cost of the assets and the investment from ratepayers over years or even decades. So councils don't buy that argument. Some of them will be better off. Others are saying, actually, it doesn't stack up for us. So those fundamental issues remain. The main change today is that the government has said it has moved from an opt-in model, which clearly was not going to work, to a mandated model.
And also its own advice, as we said, its own official advice and reports months ago said if too many pull out, and if the big ones like Auckland pull out, you do not have a viable project anymore. So Auckland's water and Auckland Council
Hamilton,
will be fuming
Christchurch.
About this, basically, will they?
Yeah, Auckland, Hamilton, Christchurch, Wellington was, you know, sort of on the fence. I mean, the big cities were by no means convinced. In fact, Phil Goff was, you know, actively and vocally opposed to it. So I can't see that they're going to get any comfort out of this at all. In fact, I imagine the move to mandate is really going to set the cat among the pigeons, because now we are steamrolling towards a model that does not have the overwhelming support of councils, far from it. In fact, there's vehement opposition in many parts of the country, and they're going to be forced into this model. And legislation, as you say, it's going to happen in the next couple of months.
You mentioned the big cities, but I've spoken to the mayors of Wairoa and Waimakariri, and interesting points they make. The mayor of Wairoa says, where's the person who actually comes to fix the pipes going to live now? Are we going to wait hours and hours? Because this comes to the question of governance again, when you've got larger entities, and you know, the concerns of many of these smaller areas is we're gonna lose not only jobs, but who the hell's going to come and fix stuff, and how many layers are we going to have to go through to get decisions made?
That's right. The mayor of Matamata said, "Where Matamata Piako, I was like, where is our voice going to be in this massive entity?" As you said, like, one of the entities covers the whole South Island, and if you look at the disparate interests and needs of all of those different communities. However, we do have to look at the bigger picture as well. And Nanaia Mahuta, the minister, says the case for change is strong. We know there are problems with water provision, it's stormwater, drinking water, wastewater. There are problems that need to be fixed. And I think there is actually a pretty broad consensus around it. Now, actually, another part of this proposal too, I think it's important to talk about, that's not controversial, it has very broad support, is the new regulator, Taumata Arawai. That's already been set up, and that is also part of this big system, is that you'll actually have someone, a one-stop shop, looking at it, monitoring it and enforcing it. However, it's this ownership and governance situation with the council that is obviously critical to the model. It is the fundamental core part to it, and I think the minister is going to have a really big fight on her hands to get everything working smoothly with all these councils moving in one direction.
Four is seen as being, look, I know we spoke to a former head of Auckland Water who's an expert now in Australia, or has worked in Australia as well, saying, you know, maybe you could do it with 12, maybe you could structure it more logically. Again, it's that case sometimes that what feels like it's been designed on a whiteboard somewhere in Wellington then needs to be adapted to reality. Now, is there room for that still to happen? What's the consultation that happens from here?
No, there won't be any change away from this model, and Ms. Mahuta addressed it. She also, it was interesting, she said, we tested 30 models. We ran 30 models through, and, you know, this is not one that we've plucked and decided and, you know, stuck to and without having looked at any others. And while this has all been going on too, like over in Hawke's Bay, for example, there have been local councils over there looking at a regional model. So they'd sort of put forward a proposal saying, let four or five of us get together, manage our water, and we'll just do it by ourselves. That was rejected. So Ms. Mahuta pretty adamant that the four entities is the model that will be going ahead. Now, with the legislation, and that is the legislation that contains the mandate and establishes these entities that will go through select committee. So we will have that legislation before the House next year, and the minister says that is another time for public consultation. But given her statements today, I can't see any substantial changes to the model itself, regardless of that public consultation process.
And iwi involvement in this as well is very important to her, and is fundamental to the model as well. The other thing we haven't mentioned is that figure, the $120 to $180 billion over the next 30 years, that is estimated to be the total costs of getting all three waters up to where they should be. These new bodies are going to be able to borrow in their own right, so it's not going on to councils' own books. Some argue the councils are worried they're going to be left with little or nothing to do. I don't think it's as simple as that, Jane. I think these concerns, not about something happening, but the nature of what's happening, seem to me to be pretty genuine in some instances.
Look, they are. And as we, you know, as we talked about before, it's not just a one council and one concern. Every single council that we've talked about has a slightly more nuanced view on it. Every council is affected differently because of their assets or their borrowing or their ability to borrow. Some are in a really good position, others are not. And, you know, coming back to iwi and Māori involvement, you know, Ms. Mahuta said some of the communities who have the worst water, Māori communities in very isolated areas, they don't have access to good drinking water, and iwi will be part of the regional representation board. But again, you know, that's there have been concerns from Te Pāti Māori as well in terms of actually the issue of water ownership, which none of this addresses. They say we should not be heading towards any of these reforms until that core issue is sorted and it remains unresolved. And of course, as we know, that's been something that's challenged successive governments and is not directly an issue here. But that is, not a peripheral concern, but it's all part of the mix here. And this is why it is so difficult. So many varying sizes of council, so many different interests, all brought into these four very large entities.
All right, it's a big, bold move. As you said, they had a sense of inevitability about it unless the whole thing was going to fall over, and that certainly hasn't happened as of this morning. Jane, thanks so much for the update. Jane Patterson is RNZ's political editor.